Me? I love coaching. Now, I'm going to say this again, just so you didn't think it was a mistake the first time I said it. For me, success is not about the wins and losses. It's about helping these young fellas be the best versions of themselves on and off the field.
I Want to Rock Right Now. I'm your host and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Man, you corny!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back or welcome to Season 10 of the Raise Your Game Show. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. The focal point of this season is on core values and the principles, tenets, and standards that make up the foundation of what we believe and how we behave in every area of our life. More importantly, why having unparalleled clarity and conviction in our core values will drastically improve our decision-making, our performance, and our fulfillment. Joining me today is a longtime friend, Anna Goldstein. We connected after one of my speaking engagements several years ago, and I've been a huge fan of her work and her message ever since. Anna is a super successful business and life coach, podcast host, and the author of an amazing new book called Be Bold, A Guide to Unbreakable Confidence. She was kind enough to send me an advance copy a few weeks ago, and I read it twice, cover to cover. It's a quick, easy, and highly practical guide that will help you stop listening to the voice in your head that says, you're not good enough. Since reading it, I've gifted it to several friends, all of whom have loved it. To order her book, or to get more information on her coaching services, check out annagoldstein.com. In this series, Anna and I will be discussing her four primary core values: impact, spirituality, fun, and being bold. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on impact.
And before we fully dive into each one of your core values, I'd love to just get your thoughts on why having core values and having clarity on core values is important for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we live our lives most of the time unconsciously, right? Where we're not consciously making choices. But clarifying your values gives you that edge to be conscious of the choices that you're making. And if you don't choose what is really the most important thing to you, then you're likely to live by default and not really live in alignment with who you are, what you want. And it's also the effect that you want to have on your life and the world. So it's really important to choose your values consciously because it gives you the ability to consciously create and make choices based on your highest values. And then from there, you're living in alignment.
Absolutely. Now, speaking to you personally, how often do you, I guess, kind of change, update, recalibrate, refresh the core values that you tend to live by? I mean, I've so thoroughly enjoyed your book. I've read it twice. I've gifted it to so many friends. I would hold up a copy right now, except I gave it to my ex-wife to read because I knew she'd really enjoy it as well. And I know you've had a long and amazing journey so far. So how often should one revisit their core values to make sure they're still in alignment with that North Star?
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Alan. I appreciate that. I think it's really about when you feel like something isn't working to constantly reassess and reevaluate. For example, you know, one of my core values, which we'll get into, is fun, but that wasn't always one of my core values. In my 20s, it was kind of something that happened haphazardly, you know, a little bit, like a little bit of this like careless, carefree attitude. But, you know, as you grow and as you age, you constantly want to look at, where am I not feeling the most alive, jazzed, and good about? And then constantly updating those value systems based on where you're at, because as you grow, you know, and as life changes, your values are going to change. So it's really constantly reevaluating of like, this doesn't feel exactly right. So then you know that, maybe it's time to update your values.
That's perfect. And yeah, as I self-reflect, I can see the same, you know, who I am at 45 is hopefully a much more improved version over who I was at 25. But the things that I valued and thought that were important at 25 certainly has shifted. And some of that, I think, is with life experience and maturity, certainly in my case, fatherhood, having children, that will get you to recalibrate some values. So no, I love what you said. So let's dive into your first core value, your first of four, and that's impact. Why is impact such an important core value for you?
You know, I think this one is actually one that has been consistent for me. Ever since I was little, I always had this desire. And I don't know if it was because I had a sledding accident when I was 4 years old, where I was sledding with my dad. A sled hit my dad and he fell on top of me. I hit a rock. And with head injuries, there's a lot of blood. I was vomiting blood and I thought I was going to die. So I don't know if that had a really big impact on me, but I can remember from a really young age, just wanting to make a difference, wanting to make an impact on the world. Like I wanted to do something purposeful with my life. And I had that desire at a very young age. So I think impact is just something that is really important to me because I want to give more, you know, and I'm always looking for ways in which I can give. And it really can come from small exchanges. It doesn't have to be like, sometimes I think when we think of impact, like we think of this grandiose, like I have to do something that's going to change the world. But what I have found is that it has actually come from the small things that have the biggest impact on people, the world, and even yourself.
Yeah, without question. And I know how hard you've worked to build such an impressive platform and coaching practice and podcast. And now with the book that you are making that impact. But I love that you highlighted that you don't necessarily have to have a podcast or a book or a website to make an impact, that you can look for these little micro opportunities every single day to fill someone's bucket and to be of service. And is that how you define impact? If I was gonna commit you to a written definition, how would you say you define impact?
Yeah, I would say that it's making a difference. And no matter how big or small, you know, I look for these small ways in which I can contribute to the lives of others, you know, and I also know that the way that the impact that other people have had on me isn't from these like big events always. And a lot of the time it's not from like my family and my friends, it's from these strangers. So I think it's really, you know, almost like just expanding it to be anything that you do, really, any interaction that you have can be impactful. And I think that, you know, defining it through the lens of how can I help? What can I do? What can I give to make a difference in the life of somebody else is just a great way to live. And I think it takes us out of this kind of idea of like ourselves and constantly thinking and obsessing about ourselves and what we don't have and what we're not doing. And it puts the emphasis on others. And I think that's just a better mindset.
Most certainly. I mean, this reminds me of kind of one of the tenets of transformational leadership is this mindset that it's not about me, it's about you. That in every role that we play in our lives, whether it's as a mother or father or as a spouse, a member of the community, as a speaker, as an author, as a business owner, is having that mindset that it's not about me, it's about you. How can I be of service? How can I fill your bucket? How can I make your life easier or add value? And we have to just continually look for those opportunities. Talk to me about the importance of impact as a parent and how you model that and show up every day as someone that's trying to make an impact.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, just the awareness of everything you do does have an impact, you know, as a parent, like, you know, at every moment can have an impact, big or small, because sometimes the things that we remember about our childhood are these little things. Sometimes they're big events for sure, but sometimes they're the little things that somebody did or said once, you know, sometimes they are the things that are repetitive. But really, I see my job as a parent mostly is to, you know, my goal, I would say, is to help my son become a great thinker and not to teach him, you know, what to think, but to teach him how to think. So I do positive affirmations with him. We, you know, my son happens to have this great passion for animals and the earth. So we're constantly paying attention to the environment and picking up trash and things of that nature, or even doing acts of kindness, you know? I think that, you know, it's never absent really, because we're impacted. We can be impacted by the way somebody drives, you know, whether they let you go or they cut you off. And that has a ripple effect. So I think just being aware that everything you do has an impact. And it's not expecting yourself to be perfect all of the time, you know, because some mistakes, like I also, as a parent, really try to take ownership of the mistakes that I make. So I think it's really important to create an environment where my son can feel like he can freely make mistakes, because I think that's so important in life, because we can be so limited by the fear of making a mistake. So I think, you know, whether you do quote unquote the right thing or the wrong thing, it still can have a good impact. Even if it's quote unquote the wrong thing, it still can have a good impact, right? So some things that were hard in our life can still have a positive impact. So I think it's not about, like, you know, making sure that everything is perfect all the time, but being able to know that when we make mistakes, sometimes those are the greatest moments of teaching and the things where we can learn the most.
Absolutely. You know, something that you said earlier that kind of struck a chord, I'm with you 100% that when we take kind of looking, we take it off of ourselves and we look to make an impact on others. But one of the things that I love about your book is how important self-talk is, and how important it is to make sure that the things that we do say to ourselves serve us and uplift us and empower us. And once again, it's not about being perfect, but it's about having some self-compassion for when we do mess up or wish that we do things better. So on some level, we need to be able to make an impact with ourselves on a daily basis by the way we talk, and then that to ourselves, and then that's going to change the way we show up and impact others. Talk to me a little bit about kind of your view on, you know, the self-talk that we go through all of the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that has such a big impact on what decisions we make and what we decide to do, right? So if we're thinking really negatively, you know, we have the agency over whether or not we're going to continue that narrative and that story, or we can operate from a different way of thinking. And, you know, that's really what I think can have the biggest impact. Like, if we're all thinking about things more positively, we're going to behave better, right? So it's like there's a model of human behavior, which is thinking, feeling, behavior, results. So if you're thinking at a high level and you're thinking really well and you're behaving well and you're feeling good, you're going to get really good results. So yeah, I think that the impact that our self-talk has not only on ourselves but on others, because sometimes we think that we're the only ones that can hear what's going on in between our own ears.
Right.
But you can tell when you're around somebody, maybe you've had this experience where you're around somebody who's thinking really negatively.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can feel it. Yeah. And it has an impact, right? So, and vice versa. Like if I'm chatting with you and I'm starting to think like, wow, Alan's really great. You know, like you can start to feel that. You know, if I'm looking for your potential and I'm seeing that, and that's coming from my own thoughts, you know, that's not something that you necessarily can hear, but it has a really big impact on the way that we're going to interact.
Yeah. Well, especially with, and I love that almost four-step process that you just mentioned, that it starts with the thinking and then goes to how we're feeling, to then behaving, to then results. But, you know, if you're thinking then causes you to feel a certain way, which in the example you just gave would probably cause you to smile and have open and warm body language, which then is going to increase the connection between us, which is then going to get both of us to lean in a little bit more and behave slightly differently and thus get a better result. So these things are all intertwined. What do you say to someone that constantly finds themselves being very critical of themselves and having that negative self-talk? And I still, again, I don't want to go too far off on a tangent, but I think this still is very applicable to the concept of impact, because you don't want your negative or critical thinking to have the wrong impact or to have the impact that you're not trying to have on others.
So that's a great question, because first and foremost, I just want to say that that's natural and it's very normal. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to beat yourself up for having it. You don't want to add layers to, I shouldn't be having negative self-talk. You know, the best thing to do is really to welcome it and to understand that you're human, you know, and to recognize that we have almost, I'm going to say this, and I know you're wired very positively, Alan, but I happen to say I am not. It's something that I've put a lot of effort and energy into rewiring the way that I think, because my default mode is very much to be self-critical, and negative. And so I've had to put in that work, which is why so much of my work is around that negative self-talk, because I've noticed how it's made such a big difference in my life, because I used to be so hard on myself and say such negative things about myself. And I really was way far off of getting any type of results and desire that I have. But at the same note, you can achieve great results and still be negative. In fact, a lot of high performers have this negative self-talk because they want more, you know? So the first step is really just to recognize that you have it, not feel bad about having it, and to start to recognize that that voice is not who you are, but it is just a incessant negative inner dialogue, that there is nothing wrong with you for having it, and that, and to almost welcome it, and you can engage with it. Like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, are you trying to tell me I could work harder? Okay. Well, that's a little nicer than saying you suck, you know? And that's the real opportunity of that we have, is to really have this relationship with this negative voice that isn't controlling us, and really where we're living in this kind of negative chatter, but we're able to separate it. We're able to witness it with awareness and say, okay, there it is. I see you, but you're not me. And so I'm going to make a different choice. I'm going to choose a different thought, or I'm going to choose a different action, because I don't want to let that thought lead my actions.
I tell you, one of the most epiphanal moments I've ever had in my life was being able to realize that I am not my thoughts, that I'm basically the awareness that I have these thoughts. And when I've been able to step out and kind of view those thoughts almost as if they're a third party narrator, that's helped significantly, because then I say, well, I don't have to believe what the narrator's saying, or that doesn't have to be my story. I can choose to go left if they're telling me to go right. And just that simple awareness for me has taken so much pressure off and helped significantly. And while I am wired to lean more towards positivity and optimism, I used to have the same issue with being incredibly self-critical. And for me, what's really helped was always trying to reframe it as, how would I talk to a friend or a loved one, and then learn to talk to myself in that same way? You know, I could really pile it on myself, but if I saw you as my friend were struggling, or you had a hard time, or didn't perform to the level you were capable of, I'd treat you with empathy and compassion and inclusion, and want to do everything I could to encourage you. And then I'd turn right around and pile it right on myself when I did the same thing. So for me, being able to step outside and treat myself the way that I aim to treat others has been a huge help.
Yeah, I think it's definitely easier to be positive with other people because we have less attachment, right? We have so much attachment with ourselves of like, oh, what did I do? And, you know, we're the big, you know, person in our storyline. So yeah, it can be easier to be so positive with others because we're not attached, but we seem to be so like attached to ourselves, you know, which is one of the reasons why we suffer so much.
For sure. And one other thought on the self-talk, and this is something I'm still working on. And I think all of this stuff I'll be working on for the rest of my life. You know, I think it was Peter Crohn that said that we can simultaneously be masterpieces and works in progress at the exact same time. Like we should feel good about who we are, but still work to continue to evolve and to grow and develop. But, you know, one of the things I've really worked hard on is not saying or vocalizing out loud, literally, any of these negative thoughts or anything that doesn't serve me. You know, as we were talking before we hit record, we were talking about the ultra marathon event that I just did. And I made a commitment to myself that on that run, I was never going to verbally or vocalize anything that didn't serve me. So if I was tired, I would never say I was tired. So even if I was exhausted and you were running by me and asked me how I was doing, I'd say, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling energized, you know, and I think half of the battle is just stop saying stuff out loud that doesn't serve us. Because it goes back to what you said earlier with that four-step process and system, our thinking and our feeling and our behaving gives us our results. So for me, step one is just don't say stuff out loud that's not helping us.
Yeah. That's a huge discipline too. You know, it takes a lot of consciousness to even recognize first that, you know, that you maybe feel that way, but you're not going to actually voice it into existence. Right. So, that's awesome. And see how, like, you know, I know you had a great performance, you know, you performed your personal best and it had an impact. Self-talk has a huge impact on not only our personal happiness, but everything we do. And then those that we come in contact with for sure. And even don't come in contact with, I would say, because our thoughts can go way beyond, you know, who we're in contact with.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for investing your time with us. I hope we helped you raise your game. Before I sign off, I want to let you know that I've been in the lab these past several months, reorganizing and revamping my onstage content. The result? 4 new standalone keynote programs that address 4 separate audiences. Raise Your Game for individual performance. Raise Their Game for leadership performance. Raise Our Game for organizational performance. And Raise Your Sales for sales performance. For more information on each program, please visit allensteinjr.com.